Welcome back to my YouTube channel, everybody. Today, my guest is Rabbi Menachem Levine from Chicago, Illinois. And together with Rabbi Menachem, we'll talk about anti-Semitism in the United States this day. Thanks for your time, Rabbi Menachem. And thanks for joining me today and for accepting my invitation.
Pleasure, my pleasure.
Well, would you like to tell us something about yourself? Because what I know is you are the CEO of the largest Jewish school in the Midwest. This is just a little piece of who you are and what your background is. So you feel free to say whatever you feel is relevant for this conversation that we're going to have about yourself.
Sure. So I'll give you very briefly. Grew up in Miami Beach, Florida. I was born in New York. My parents moved when I was two. Importantly, all four of my grandparents were Holocaust survivors from Poland. My mother's parents were second marriage. Both of their first spouses were murdered in the Holocaust. They were actually miraculously survived 6 years of the Nazis in Poland. My father's parents, most of their family was killed also in the Holocaust, but they were actually fortunate, were taken by Stalin, thrown into Siberia in 1941, right before the Germans backstabbed the Russians. And that's largely how they survived the Holocaust, albeit with their life in danger of, of freezing in Siberia, but they did survive in that fashion after experiencing the Holocaust, crossing over to the Russian side. I grew up in Miami Beach, very strong Jewish identity. I studied both in Israel and America. I have a law degree from an Ivy League university, University of Pennsylvania. I was a rabbi for 13 years in Silicon Valley, in San Jose. Have a lot of computer engineers, Intel, Cisco, Google, Facebook. I spoke at all those kind of companies, Apple. And then I moved to Chicago, which is a very large Jewish community. We're the largest Jewish school, as we mentioned, in the Midwest. I'm a frequent writer in multiple periodicals. And I always take opportunities to speak to intelligent people like yourself about important topics.
Thank you. I'm honored by your kind words. Well, the reason why I decided that I wanted to discuss this topic on my channel is that we saw in the recent months an increasing number of attacks against alleged Jews. The reason why I'm saying alleged is that actually some of these people were not even Jews, but we'll get to it in a moment. How would you characterize the current status of anti-Semitism in the United States? Is it a peak? It is just cyclic resurgence? How would you describe it?
I don't know. I would say, obviously anti-Semitism goes up and down. In America, in the 19th century, there was a certain level of anti-Semitism, which sometimes would be outbursts. Someone like myself who walks around like this with who's a proud Jew would be less common, and there was certainly like a subtle anti-Semitism, but in America, but in the 1920s with Henry Ford and the Protocol to Elders of Zion, it raised with a lot of the Nazis coming in Europe. There was a lot of fascism. But then really after the Holocaust, for decades, you would be embarrassed in America. You would be embarrassed to be an open anti-Semite. That fear, really the past 15, 20 years, has dissipated, less and less. There are more and more people who are not embarrassed to be open anti-Semites. And the past few years, I would say with the intersectionality, means if you were a neo-Nazi, you're never embarrassed. You don't care about people anyways. So that group was never embarrassed, but the vast majority of people were. And today, I would say in an intersectional world, there's a lot more anti-Semitism, some of it cloaked as anti-Zionism. And since October 7th, but even before, it become increasingly violent and dangerous. So I think this is a lot of this is new. A lot of it's imported from the Middle East, or exacerbated with social media and the internet.
Well, we'll get social media in a little while, but I also would like to touch another point. I think that anti-Semitism is largely based on misconceptions, one of which is mistaking Israeli for Jews and Jews for Israeli, because a lot of Jews are not from Israel, and a lot of people from Israel are not Jews. For instance, those two people who were shot out of the Jewish History Museum in DC were Christians. They were not even Jews. So,
One was
what other misconception do you think this hate towards Jewish is based on? Or if you want to elaborate even on this one.
Let me say one was a Messianic Christian. That's true, and the other one was half Jew, was not halakhically Jewish. She was Jew. Her mother was a convert to my knowledge, and she was engaged to this gentleman. But they were killed. They were killed thinking they were Jews, and the person who killed them, unabashedly screaming, saying "Free Palestine" and thinking he's saving Gaza, killed them, whether he because he viewed them as Jews or Israeli. But you mentioned Israelis versus Jews. The vast majority, 90% of American Jews, are pro-Israel. There's disagreements of flavors, of types. I'm a certain flavor, other people's a different flavor. But I would just it's just interesting because I view today that the there's a little bit of an inquisition of ideas, and the attacks in Boulder, in Washington, D.C., the attack on the governor of Pennsylvania, who's a Jew, a lot of what you see out there is almost inquisition-like, which means whether you're Israeli or you're a Jew who identifies with that, we're going to try to put you into hiding or put you out of commission. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something, Leonardo. I don't doubt in my mind that if these forces would be powerful enough, they would take on all the Christian evangelicals just as well for anything pro. This is it's they view anyone with these kinds of ideas as their enemy. And so Jews who are not Israelis who could, and by the way, not every Jew is pro-Israel. They don't know what I hold if I'm walking on the street. I've had occasions where people scream "Free Palestine," but they know what I hold, but they are going to associate me with that. And they feel free to feel free, I think that's an important word, to attack, to boycott, to dehumanize people who have these kind of viewpoints.
Well, I think that there's another misconception that we should point out, that is that fellow Christians don't understand that the religion between Christianity and Judaism is largely the same. So, to me, all the Christians who hate the Jews actually didn't get what Christianity really is about. So do you want to say something about it?
Well, yeah, so I mean, obviously, there is a history, early Christianity and in the Middle Ages. But today, I mean, many of in those times, there's certainly a lot of, I hate to say it, baggage of Christian of anti-Semitism. But in recent history, again, I just mentioned evangelicals and many, other conservative Christians in this country, whether they're Protestants or Catholic, are super pro-Israel. And they feel an affinity, people like Ted Cruz just said last week, he feels it's to bless Jews or anything like that. There, I get all the time emails, messages from religious Christians who feel an affinity, feel a connection to the Jewish people. Bless you, Rabbi, praying for you. I would argue that most of what you call Christians who are on the anti-Israel, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic background are non-religious. Most, not all. A lot of them are not practicing, and they may be Christian by birth, but they have rejected the whole idea of the Bible of God in general. And therefore, in this intersectional world, the Jews get attacked.
Well, thanks for pointing that out, because actually, for most Italians, Christianity is not something that you leave, but it's just part of the furniture. So, a lot of Italians are born Christians, but they don't really care. They don't really know what's written in the Bible. Therefore, they probably don't even know that the Old Testament is actually the Jewish Bible. Therefore, this is where this misconception comes from. So, I would like to ask you something else. Since I started my activity as a blogger and a YouTuber dealing with conspiracy theories, I think that there are a lot of conspiracy theories about the Holocaust and what happened to the Jews during World War II. So, do you think that the American school is doing enough to address this problem of actually teaching what the Nazis did during the World War II to the Jews or not?
No, it's not enough. I don't know if it's certainly not enough. I mean, the idea, if it's just, and I'll be honest, even for some of the Jewish people, it's not enough because you can't, there are other genocides, unfortunately, but the Holocaust was unique both in scope and in how it was done. And I think what's important for our conversation of not just how it was at the time, but how it was allowed to happen. And a lot of what people don't understand about the Holocaust is that the Jews were dehumanized for years beforehand, and that allowed the Holocaust to happen. So if you and I just would step open the book of the Holocaust, again, many American children don't know what Auschwitz or Treblinka or death camps or ghettos are. They never heard of it. That's not something. Again, a large percent of the newer immigrants especially have no context for that. But even if they know a few facts, if they do not understand, which I don't see enough of an emphasis on, the Holocaust, how it was able to happen, how you can dehumanize people, then you're not really getting the lessons of the Holocaust. I'll tell you an interesting story, by the way. Let's just talk about Christianity and Philo-Semitic and anti and again, I always take good opportunities. This is a good opportunity to discuss important topics. So it's actually on YouTube and other places. Maybe 7 years ago, I gave a lecture for the Silicon Valley Holocaust Association on spiritual bravery in the Holocaust. Somehow or other, a public school teacher who was in Morgan Hill, South San Jose, border in Morgan Hill, saw this lecture, whether it was online or somebody told her about it, I don't even know, to be honest, and asked me to speak to the middle school of her public school. So several hundred, I spoke to several hundred kids in the school. This was, I would say, center-left area, but the type of place you would imagine that people would be somewhat religious. It was that kind of neighborhood. And there's several hundred kids there. So I was talking about real spiritual bravery in the Holocaust. So in the process, I said, how many of you in the school heard of Genesis? 300, 400 kids, two hands go up. Exodus. They don't even know the Bible. So we're talking about knowing the Holocaust. These kids have no context of the Bible. They know very little about the Holocaust. So, it's easy when you talk about, it's easy for things to repeat in that kind of situation.
I get your point, and totally makes sense. So we know that school is not doing enough, but let's talk about something that is even worse. What's the role of social media, in your opinion, in spreading this kind of hate towards the Jews in this case? But actually, I could ask the question about hate towards anybody, but let's stick to our
It
topic.
tops, nothing less. I myself use social media, LinkedIn and Substack, just to get some messaging out. What social media does is it empowers people who could be voices of hate. It's a lot of clickbait that's there, but it also is no way to verify things. So people can post the most outrageous, false things, and people believe it, and and a lot of people can hide their identity in the process. So there's no even consequence to that. And so what happens is that you can have, let's say, on TikTok, for example, you post Israel bombs a hospital, which was false, right? And then millions of people spread it, and it's false. It's really a blood libel, I wrote a while back on the Damascus Affair, which was a famous blood libel in 1840 in Damascus. And when you talk about, and I talk about the response of people like Moses Montefiore, by the way, Montefiore's family was from Italy, from Leghorn, from Livorno, but how he dealt with it. But a blood libel was basically a lot of people making something up and it's spreading. If there would be internet in those days, they could have had person puts a picture. And you just make up anything you want. And so the internet really is, it spreads all kinds of false ideas. There's, by the way, a lot of Russian bots and Chinese who besides real anti-Semites, they're in their mind, and you can look this up, by the way, they're more than happy to cause chaos in America and in Western Europe in particular. So They have an interest in caught in spreading all kinds of wrong, dangerous, hateful ideas to make people in America hate each other, to make groups dislike each other. There's a lot of disinformation out there, and again, I would encourage people look it up. Look up how these things work. You will see that there's a lot of Russian bots, a lot of information on there that them doing this.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, social media can be a very good tool if you use it to spread good messages. It's
Right.
you, right? And but it can also backfire because not only what you said, it can be used to share fake information, but also if someone posts something that is actually legitimate, that is actually correct, people can say, no, this is fake because it's made with AI or something like that, while it's not true. So,
Also, no, just one more point is that because of the algorithms, it radicalizes people's viewpoints. So let's say you are an anti-Semite. So you're going to start getting all the anti-Semites feeding you information, right? But if you're a left-wing liberal, you'll get all the left-wing liberal. If you're a right-wing conservative, the way the internet goes, again, I was a rabbi in Silicon Valley. I saw these guys, who I spoke in a lot of these companies, is it reinforces your viewpoints. So most people, are gonna, if you're already a radical, it will make you more radical. That's another, negative of it. It's not usually cross information unless you go out and look. If you're a liberal and you look on the Wall Street Journal, or you're a conservative and you look at the Washington Post. But if you're in your own algorithm, it will feed you more and more of what you want to see. And yeah, if you're in a conspiracy world, you just get more and more and more conspiracies.
well, where do you think this anti-Semitism is coming from most? Is it from the far left, who's maybe connected to Islamic extremists, or more to the far right, who is connected to
Sure,
the alleged extremist Christians?
for
Both?
sure, the far left today. It's cloaked in anti-Zionism. It's, the Jews made, I think anyone makes Trump do anything, historically in America, probably like I'd say 1990, I would be much more concerned with the far right. But the far left today is, number one, more accepted. It's not as taboo. Because the far right was in America, was the Ku Klux Klan, were the neo-Nazis, they were unacceptable. So they were like blacklisted from everything. They were like slave owners. They're knocked out of power positions. You can go to universities and you'll find plenty of far left professors saying crazy things in power. You can go in the media and find them. Not all of them, obviously, but they are way more accepted. And again, I think I mentioned the word intersectionality. The far left, both in Europe, by the way, we're talking about America. I have plenty of friends in France and in England, less so in other countries, but my understanding is the same thing over there. Is that the far left and the Islamic extremists, which is quite interesting. There's a lot of overlap and a lot of collusion, and certainly about Jewish topics. Look at France, for example. The far left is far anti-Semitic. I mean, they're not radically anti-Semitic, and they're getting lots of votes, not just from the Islamic extremists. There's just the whole report about the Muslim Brotherhood in May in France. But they're getting from anarchists. And just yesterday in New York, who wins the primary? Far left, socialist, anarchist, anti-Semite, Muslim. That's who just won in the primary in New York yesterday. A very Jewish city, by the way. 10, well, 11% Jews.
Well, but other than this kind of attacks that we talked about at the beginning of this conversation, where we have shootings, what kind of discrimination can Jews face in their everyday life in America?
Well, for now, I would say in the universities, you'll be if you're a pro-Israel, pro or very ostensible, outgoing, proud Jew, you'll be either questioned, made fun of, attacked, made uncomfortable. At certainly many universities, that's the case. If you would walk in parts of New York, Chicago, LA, when there are protests, which are not, almost never peaceful, you would be in danger. They have smashed Jewish stores, smashed flags, online intimidation, things of that sort. I would say, Leonardo, though, anti-Semitism is like a cancer, actually, or a Sachs, who's the past chief. rabbi of England, so he said, and metastasizes. So what we're seeing now is a great danger, right? And it could easily get out of control. I mean, Italy has a smaller Jewish community, although it's an ancient Jewish community. But if you go to a place like France or England, the percentage of Jews who want to leave those countries or scared are over 50%. So America is not like that. But the danger of something like that metastasizing, getting worse and worse, if you let this thing go, it will only increase. And a lot of it, by the way, just for the record, is not just anti-Semitic in the potential danger we see the past few months. A lot of it's anti-American, anti-Western, anti-colonial, all of their words they'll use as well. And so they're ideological. And I would say I walk around like this today. I'm not scared, thank God. I have my children walk around. I don't think we're walking be fearful. I am concerned, very concerned, that if it's not checked, it can get significantly worse.
So let me ask you to elaborate on the last point that you touched. So people are not refraining, for instance, from wearing David's cross, David's
Star.
star, the Star of David, of course. I was messing up religions right there.
Absolutely.
Okay, sorry about that. People are not refraining from showing their Jewish signs that they are proud of being Jewish.
Unarmed people, if you're again, if you let's say you're a Jew who is not so confident in their Judaism and they're in a university or they're in a workforce with lots of left-wing people, there are definitely people who would put away their Jewish star, not because they're worried necessarily gonna beat up on the street, but they don't want to be questioned. They're uncomfortable. The word Zionist, in some circles is like a is extremely negative, and they're uncomfortably being associated with it. Someone like myself, no, not at all. Doesn't faze me. My community doesn't faze. No.
What's the role of politics right now? Is it, for instance, is the current administration making it worse or making it easier?
Oh, if you ask me, much better. They're doing actions. Biden's administration. Biden was a good person. I think he was concerned. He had people who were concerned, but they did nothing. You know why? Because it's mostly their base, and didn't have the backbone to take on the far left of their base. Remember, they're the Democratic Party, right? Now, Trump will overcompensate in certain areas. I don't think everything he does is intelligent, but he's not scared to do actual actions and actions to buy the words. Fighting hatred is words are not enough. So Trump has been, in my opinion, way better than Biden because he's not worried to take that on. If it would have been neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan, I'm sure Biden would have taken it on. But he didn't want to anger people on his own base. His him and many of the people around him's response was tepid. And they did speak out about anti-Semitism, but their actions were seriously lacking on many levels.
Well, what do you think the future holds for us? I mean, for Jews in America, where are we going with this situation? Is it getting any better? Is it getting worse?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, again, I think that the more it's unacceptable, by the way, we talk about the right. There are right-wing people on the internet, like Candace Owens, who's who if she would take if she would say about Jews what she would say about Blacks, would never be on the internet or about Spanish. So the fact that she's even accepted at all, that Piers Morgan could put her on his show, is atrocious, is an abomination. People, if anyone would openly have conspiracy theories, hatred towards Blacks, towards Spanish, towards Christians, the fact that it can be accepted at all is an abomination. So the more there are trends, I think, which are positive, I think there's also some negative trends. I don't, I, you know, again, I don't think that anti-Semitism is the world's oldest hatred. There are theological overtones, as far as I'm concerned, in it. You could be a Jew, you're a communist, you're a capitalist, you almost can't win in certain things. But I think, on a practical, mundane, earthly level, the more it's checked, the more it's unacceptable. Europe, and also till 1990, really had expunged anti-Semitism from being socially acceptable. There were anti-Semites, But it wasn't socially acceptable. And really, a lot of it came back because of Muslim immigration, which included Muslim fundamentalists and radical Muslims. There are many fine Muslims who do not have those views, but there's a way they're coming from countries where they're way more tolerated and accepted. And amongst some white people against the West, stuff like that. So I think there's I'm not sure what the future brings necessarily, but I think the issue is going to be forced because what happens is if you look at any country where anti-Semitism is tolerated, in the end of the day, it hurts those countries as well. It breaks down the social fabric of anywhere else. Look at history. I'm a history person. You will see that whether you're the Nazis in Germany, you will lose your rights. You will be destroyed. Then it doesn't end well. So my goal is for myself, my family, and for everyone, people like yourself, is that it ends well. And the more of these kind of conversations, and the more people do things about it, speak out and act upon it. Listen, there are way more Christians in the world than Jews. You know, people like yourself have an important role to play in blocking anti-Semitism. So, you know, the more people like you, the less anti-Semitism will be tolerated, and the more we'll be able to talk about other topics, which are a lot more pleasant.
Well, many thanks for your very kind words. I'm honored. And yes, I'm doing my best. And I hope someone watches this video so that they can have a better understanding of what's going on.
Right.
Well, Rabbi, many thanks for your time today. And I think that no one could have explained these topics better than you. So it was great having you on today.
Really my pleasure, and God bless and keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody else, for watching this video. And see you all in my next episode. Bye-bye.
Yeah.